Good morning, this is Radio Bath. I'm Simon McNeil-Ritchie, and I'm delighted to be joined by my special guest for today. Well, OK, you're my only guest today, but you're still special. John Osman, who's a partner at Mojus Druitt, who are good friends of us and indeed patrons. And today, John, we're going to be talking about alternative dispute resolution. Is that right?
That's right, Simon. Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you for having me, Simon. Honoured to be here. Delighted to come and talk to your listeners about litigation and alternative dispute resolution, which is a way in which either businesses or individuals can hopefully resolve their disputes without having to go into the complexities and the costs of the full legal process through the courts.
And I think if you're thinking, oh, is this going to be a talk about a legal specialisation? Well, you're right to a certain extent, but this is one that could very much help you individually with any of those issues or disputes you have either within the family, within the home, within the community. I come, John, as you know, from a diplomatic background, and I'm sure my memory is sort of fading a little bit because we had the Cold War, which was a fairly major issue. We had the Falklands, etc., in all those times. But it seems to me that we're in a world now, sort of post-COVID, where there's a little bit of anger around, and at all levels, whether it's at national level or at local community level, you see that overspilling into things, and that must make the job of reaching a sensible resolution so much harder.
It does, and certainly at work, a day doesn't go by where I don't have a few phone calls, whether it be from individuals or businesses, to say, my neighbour has done XYZ, or this company owes my company money. And you're absolutely right, as instead of, to say, the stop, the pause, let's have a straightaway first conversation with the neighbour or the company. Yeah. People are going to solicitors. Now, I don't mind that, of course. But part of my view is that I will always talk and say, look, how can you resolve this matter yourself, first of all? But if you can't resolve the matter yourself, then, you know, what can I do to get you through this process as quickly and painlessly as possible? And that's where we come into alternative dispute resolution today.
And it seems to me that a couple of things are going on. First of all, we'll talk a little later about the personal side, because unfortunately these disputes can sometimes be very personal, not just about neighbours, but of course family members, whether it's partners or whether it's over disputes over wills, you see all the time. But it also seems to me that a lot of people are leaping in with a perception. Sometimes I think social media makes it very easy to get hold of some piece of information and for our minds then to imagine that it's done for the worst possible reasons. And actually there are more facts, more mitigating circumstances out there if only we stop to ask.
Yes, the media do report the interesting stories, the scare stories. And again, I would say on a regular basis, I will get a client come in and say, I can see somebody sued someone successfully for £1 million. I want to do the same. No, let's stop and let's have a look at the individual facts of your case.
I just need to point out Radio Bath is not one of those media organisations. We do try to be friendly to everybody. But this is very interesting, isn't it? Where do you think the driver for finding ways short of going to court straight away has come from?
So, in the past, solicitors started off by writing letters to their opponents, and if the letter didn't get the response the client wanted, they went straight away to court. Now, the court, feeling a little bit overrun with too many
They're a bit busy
cases,
just now, aren't they?
always been busy, but I think they're feeling a little bit of the pinch over years of austerity, and they've kind of, over the last 10 years certainly, put their hands up and said, look, come on, can you resolve matters yourself? Do you really need to bring your case to court? Wouldn't it be better to have that sensible conversation? Or basically get your solicitors to meet up. Alternatively, you could do a formal mediation, get a mediator to come and resolve the matter. You could get an arbiter to decide on the matter for you. All these are forms of alternative dispute resolution, which the court would prefer that you actually look into before you issue court proceedings and take it through the court process.
Yeah, and you mentioned some of them there. What are the different forms that you would suggest arbitration can take?
So, when a client comes in, I will assess the situation with the opponent. Now, sometimes there's still a relationship there, and preserving relationships to me is absolutely key, because you're the person that either lives next door to the person you're in dispute with or in business with the person, and it's all well and good hiring a flash lawyer to basically come up with some smart comments, but you have got to live the life afterwards with them. So I'll assess the situation and say, look, can we get round a table? can we have a sensible conversation, maybe solicitor and client to solicitor and client? Okay, if we think we may need a referee, shall we get an independent mediator, pay for an independent mediator to come in and basically be that check and balance so the parties can basically temper their expectations but temper their discussions again, thinking about the relationship, because the only way you're going to resolve the matter, whether it be through any form of ADR, is basically an agreement has to be made between the parties. And if one party is very upset or feels aggrieved, it makes it even more difficult. So I look after a relationship, you know, assess the situation, and then come up with the best solution to basically, like I said, get you through it as quickly and painlessly as possible.
And anyone like me, for instance, who's been through divorce knows just how difficult that can be. It's quite a shock, actually, I found a divorce and the legal side of it, because there is somebody on the other side of the table who you were once very, very close to, very intimate mm-hmm. to, thought you were going to spend the rest of your life and did everything for each other's future. And now suddenly that is broken mm-hmm. and not going to happen. And no matter how much you try to sort of step back from that, you can't, because, you know, you're only a human being. Mm-hmm. So I found that having the lawyers involved, while at times there was friction, obviously, they did over time take some of the heat out of the exchanges.
Mm-hmm. Good solicitors should be doing that. Good solicitors should be basically looking to make sure that everything is presented factually and correct. What we sometimes find, though, is some solicitors do get a little bit excited and basically go a little bit over the top, and I try not to do that. Some of my opponents may disagree, but I think it's, you know, our job is to put the case rationally, put the best points forward, and like I said, try and find that solution for the clients, because at the end of the day, I want my clients to be happy and start living their lives. I would love for them to come and see me every week, but they probably don't want to see me every week to discuss their case. So, like I said, I try to get them through it as quickly and painlessly as possible.
And if on that, finally on that point, I could give somebody some little bit of advice from experiences, that no matter how aggrieved you are, no matter how much you think you're entitled to something out of the separation agreement, the courts are going to look at it very dispassionately. And you can spend a lot of time arguing back and forth over who gets the dog, who gets the car, etc., etc. And the court will not change its opinion from start to finish in all of that, because there are norms now that have been established.
Mm-hmm. Managing expectations of client is absolutely key. So again, when a new client comes in to me, and I've seen the story in the Daily Mail which says X person got Y for this type of claim, you know, again, I have to remind that we will look at the individual circumstances of their case, you know, advise them the parameters in which the court basically decides these cases, and then say to them, well, look, we can try to negotiate now through correspondence with the opponents. We can try to mediate, or we could try and basically take it to court. It's your choice, but I will recommend the non-court process first.
It seems to me that the pros are self-evident, but go through them anyway. And where are some of the cons, perhaps, of it?
Mm-hmm, yeah. So I'd say the most important pro of either, you know, meeting with your opponent or having a mediation with your opponent is it does limit the hostility. It focuses the minds on, you know, we're going to have a meeting, we're going to have a discussion. So there's no need for correspondence to go back and forth with this allegation and that allegation. And like I said earlier, that's important, because it's got to preserve the relationship, because you've got to live the life once the legal dispute's all over. Mediation, it's a simpler process. If you want to go and do a court process, you've got to issue a claim. You've got to wait for the defence of the claim. You've got to disclose all the documents. You've got to do witness statements. You've got to go to court on many occasions. This is a simpler process. It's me saying, Simon, let's meet up, either party to party, or we'll get a mediator to come in and join us. If it's even more complicated, we get a barrister to come and join us as well. So it's a simpler process. We can literally set up a mediation and have the matter discussed within 4 to 6 weeks. So that reduces the stress on individuals. You're not thinking of a court case, you know, a year, 18 months away. You're thinking of this could all be over, hopefully, within 4 to 6 weeks. So, you know, it being a quicker process, it's cheaper for clients to undergo any form of ADR. What I also find, it's an opportunity for you to tell your story. The courts are interested in the law and how your situation applies, but you can go that little bit wider. You can talk to your opponent and make it understand how this has had an effect on you, which is so important to tell your story. And sometimes people do and say, I didn't understand that. I didn't know that affected you in such a way. A really key pro when it comes to alternative dispute resolution is flexibility. You can come up with agreements which a court can't order. A court can normally order an injunction to make someone do something. It can order a sum of money to be paid to someone. But you can come up with much more flexible arrangements, which a court, like I said, could never do. The agreement is you know, can be confidential as well, so it never needs to leave the knowledge of the parties. There are some cons, though. You know, it still is an expense to go to a mediation. But combine that with potentially hundreds of thousands of pounds to take the matter through court. So it's a con, the cost, but it can also be a pro, you're not spending so much cost in the future.
What are some of the cons, would you say, of going down that road?
Yeah, now, most people enter ADR thinking, yes, I've got a genuine desire to actually resolve this dispute. Occasionally, though, you do get a party who uses it just as a bit of a stalling tactic. Mm-hmm. I'd say maybe one in ten, one in 15, and you come out and you haven't actually settled. So it's very rare you don't settle, but you come out and you think, did that party ever have any genuine intention? Mm. And you can't tell that, unfortunately, until you're face to face with them. And I had a case recently where my client was being very reasonable and making some very sensible proposals to resolve the matter. And after about 6 hours sat in the room, it became absolutely clear the opponents had no intention of making an offer back. So, you know, there's always that risk. But law and litigation, I'm sorry to say, is always a risk.
Can I throw a sort of curveball in? Have you seen any of this at work where you're actually dealing across legal systems or in sort of international or multicultural sort of backgrounds?
So, yes, in the past I've had cases where my clients have been here, my opponents have been in lovely locations such as New Zealand and and somewhere in the Caribbean as well, one case. So yes, if you issue a case in the English courts and you want to basically pursue someone in, say, New Zealand, that's quite a more expensive process to basically issue the case here and then issue the case again in New Zealand, for example. Again, you come to a mediation agreement. It's a lot more straightforward to set it up and resolve the dispute, and you can cut out a lot of the legal costs and complexities by undergoing mediation.
Do you think the courts are more sympathetic to people who have tried to go through the mediation?
Yes. The big thing I will say is, and one thing to take away, is that if you went to court and you have not tried mediation or any form of alternative dispute resolution, expect the judge to take a very dim view. Mm-hmm. The judges believe that most disputes can be resolved diplomatically and amicably by individuals. And they sometimes, they don't say it, but you sometimes get the feeling they think to themselves, you could have solved this without. So, if you go to court without doing any form of alternative dispute resolution, you run the cost of a judge, like I said, taking that dim view. Now, if you are successful in your case, but you refused mediation, normally, if you're successful, you get your legal costs or some of your legal costs paid. That judge can limit those legal costs substantially and say, well, if you had resolved this matter, you wouldn't have needed to come to court, so you don't recover your legal costs or a proportion of them. If you win your case and your opponent hasn't mediated, then the judge can put in some penalty interest on the legal costs and your compensation. So, you know, the amount the losing party pays goes up. So quite stern penalties for not, depending on the size of the dispute. Again, most of my disputes are property-based, contentious probate, disputes in relation to wills. And, you know, we are talking hundreds of thousands of pounds minimum going into the millions of pounds. Now, imagine a few years of interest, 8 or 10% on top of that.
Have you got any examples of it actually at work?
Mm-hmm. Yes. A couple of examples. First one in what we call a disputed will, contentious probate situation, where I represented the only child whose father had passed away. They were estranged for a number of years, but the last few years before he passed away, they'd worked on their relationship, and the son who I represented had some health needs and some financial needs, and the father did what fathers do and kindly supported. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the father passed away suddenly, and then when you look back and find the will was dated before they'd restarted the relationship, of course the will didn't mention the son at all and left everything to another family member. The other family member, should we say, not wishing to recognize the improvements in their relationship and seeing quite a pot of money basically that could come to them, made it quite difficult. So we started off conversations, and they didn't really get anywhere, so I suggested mediation. And it was interesting. We got this son and a family member together, and we got them to talk about the deceased, and that was nice. We got them actually talking about their relationship in the past. We got them talking about how they could become better friends in the future. And there was this realization then of, you know, the son's health and financial needs and how he was supported by the father. And that led to the uncle saying, well, yeah, I understand now your needs. And we ended up, you know, carving up the estate in a very beneficial way for both of them, really. So the son's needs, my clients, were met. But as I said right at the beginning today, relationships, you know, there's a solid relationship now for that family to build on. There was no more bitterness. You know, they knew each other's position. Mm-hmm. So that was really heartwarming to see, you know, financial settlement and a family relationship improved by the mediation process. Second example, we deal a lot with property and land disputes, and had a client, and she lived in harmony next to her neighbours for many, many years. And the neighbours decided they needed to extend their home for their needs. And she didn't object to the planning application, and the planning application went through and the building work started. Now, there was no real boundary marked between them. You know, they used to have lovely conversations, literally over the land. But then my client thought, oh dear, I think the builders have made a mistake, and the builders have basically encroached on my land. So she contacted them, and things got a little bit heated at first. No one wanted to admit any fault. I got involved. We instructed surveyors to come and have a look at the land, have a look at the deeds, look at all the information. And our surveyor said, yes, there's an encroachment. Whilst the opponent's surveyor said, oh, well, maybe it's just on the edge, maybe it's close. And this is the problem. You put two experts in the room, and sometimes you come up with two different stories. Anyway, the possibilities for my client and the opponents were, well, one, you know, if we took this to court, this house might need to be knocked down. Or two, our client could get some financial settlement, basically, because they've effectively taken her land. Yeah. So big risks to the neighbours.
Very interesting, very interesting. I had a dispute with a neighbour up in Scotland, actually. I bought a shop within a bigger building, and because I was aware of the possibility, shall we say, for disputes down the line, I also made sure I bought and had conveyed to me all the land round the side and the back of the building, mm-hmm. where we were looking to convert an outhouse into a flat. And a couple of years down the line, the people decided to sell up, and we've discovered they were selling the land as well. And we went through a long, long dispute through lawyers. And I did have the satisfaction of, as I walked across the road, being pursued by the couple who were accusing us of blocking their sale, to hear their own solicitor say, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, you're the only people in Scotland who think you own that land. So I thought from a legal point of view, we're on strong ground. But I have to say, if we could have sat down at an earlier time and talked it through and brought evidence of some of these things to the fore, we would have saved an awful lot of unhappiness, even if it didn't change the legal ruling.
Absolutely. I mean, again, in this case, I was just talking about it led to the neighbours paying a financial sum, basically, to my clients to purchase a bit of their land. And, you know, in a case like that, the risk always was, if it had gone to court and you had two experts saying two different things, which way is the judge going to decide?
Yeah.
You know, the judge could find either way. I rely on that expert surveyor. I rely on the other expert surveyor. And the other thing I always said to my clients is, you know, you've got a lot of witness evidence yourself, and it's very, very plausible. But when you go to court, anyone can have a bad day as well. And you're worried about it, you're concerned. And if you have a bad day and you can't get your case across, you've got one shot to do it in court, to get your case across effectively possible. If you don't do it as quite as well as you should, then again, that can have an impact on your case. Again, that doesn't happen at mediation. You get time to properly discuss things. You get time to properly compose your arguments. We're normally there for an entire day discussing it. So you've got plenty of time to make sure your points are made and reduce those risks.
That is absolutely fascinating. So if you've got a situation that you're not sure about and you want to get some advice, the idea of taking alternative dispute resolution before you press the button on that legal work seems like a really good idea. John Osman, partner at Mojus Jurit and head of that team, thank you very much indeed for coming in and just making us aware of an alternative to the hard and cold day spent in court that otherwise awaits.
Thank you, Simon.